All right, you've waited all week. We're back. It's Monday night. Voiceover Body Shop is coming up. We've got a great guest tonight, Christine Aller, who is a change strategist. We'll find out what that means.
That's right. She's sitting right over there.
She's going to be here.
Yep. And I'm going to have some tech news after Dan's news for the tech people out there.
Outstanding. And we've got DAWView 2017. We're going to learn how to find background noise. Kind of an interesting discussion. And I think we've got some other questions and we'll
some audio that was sent in too.
Some audio was sent in, so we're gonna analyze somebody's audio. You'll see how we do it. Coming up next on VoiceOver Body Shop.
Two men, twin sons from different mothers, with a passion for voiceover recording technology and the desire to make recording easy for voice actors everywhere. Together in one place. George Whittam, the home studio engineer to the stars, a Virginia Tech grad with an unmatched knowledge of all the latest gear and technology in voiceover today. Dan Leonard, the home studio master, a voice actor with over 30 years experience in broadcasting and recording, and a no-holds-barred, myth-busting attitude for teaching you how easy it is. Together, finally, to bring you all the latest technology, the superstars of voiceover today, and leading the discussion on how to make the most of your voiceover business. This is VoiceOver Body Shop.
VoiceOver Body Shop is brought to you by VoiceOverEssentials.com, home of Harlan Hogan's signature products. Antland Productions, where you can get a killer demo. Source Elements, makers of Source Connect, Source Connect Pro, and Source Connect Now. VO2GoGo.com and Rehearsal App. And VoiceOverExtra.com, your one stop for voiceover success. And by Edge Studios, find your voice.
And now, live from their super secret multimedia studio in Sherman Oaks, California, here are George Whittam and Dan Leonard.
Good evening. I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop.
Or VOBS.
Hang on a second here.
What? Am I too far away here?
Yeah, let's get you a little more on mic. Okay. I like that. That's nice.
That's your job. That's the union job. The guy gets to move the microphone.
Boom operator.
Yeah, that's right. That way. Anyway, all righty. Well, tonight we have an in-studio guest for once. We've been talking to people throughout the Fruited Plain. But tonight, Christine Aller will be with us tonight, and she'll be sitting right over here talking with me and you about your business. Not your business. Well, maybe your business.
Maybe my business.
And maybe my business and maybe your business.
Mm-hmm.
And how to make it better based on who you are and all your strengths and all that kind of cool stuff. So I'm looking forward to that. And we've got some tech stuff. You were at NAMM a couple weeks ago. Probably had a good time at that.
I certainly did.
Yeah. Not having fun riding down Topanga Canyon.
No, I'm on a little bit of a detour route these days thanks to the cute little canyon where I live closing the bottom third of the canyon. And blocking me off from the rest of the world, it feels like.
My goodness.
But it's kind of part of living up there. It's kind of the quaintness of living up there.
Yeah, sort of looks like a scene from The Roadrunner. Boulders coming down.
Yeah.
Meep, meep. All right. Let's see what else. Oh, we got DAWView 2017. We're going to talk about a noise that a client of mine had.
Mm-hmm.
And my memory.
How to find it, what it is, and how to eliminate it.
Exactly.
Whether it's a problem or not.
And cleaned it up, and now her audio is pristine.
Mm-hmm.
If her name was pristine, then it would really be kind of cool. Anyway, that's tonight. So if you got a question or comment in the chat room, throw it in there, and we'll get it on here, especially for our guest or for us. And I believe that Jack Daniel is watching the
One of our new chat room mods. Thank you, Jack.
Yes, thank you, Jack. We appreciate it. And now,
the VoiceOver Extra VOBS News, the latest and most comprehensive voiceover industry news, brought to you live.
Well, are you an owner or an employee? Are you the owner of your voiceover business or its employee? Being employed is nice for a steady paycheck, But thinking of yourself as an employee creates a mindset that can hinder how you market to and work with voice over clients. For example, take networking. Your local opportunities to mingle with businesses or at voiceover industry events where you'd meet agents and producers. How do you approach these people? As a business owner or as an employee? Well, here's the difference. A business owner learns one's needs and then builds long-term relationships. An employee seeks jobs. Someone who knows a lot about this is Gerald Griffith, the executive producer of the annual VO Atlanta Conference, which, by the way, is this year's largest voiceover conference and gathering and runs from March 9th to the 12th at the Atlanta Airport Marriott. Great plug there, huh? All right.
Well, bam.
That's right. Gerald, of course, favors the business owner approach and calls it the entrepreneur's mindset. In a new article on VoiceOver Extra, he tells how that approach will greatly improve your networking skills and results. For example, he explains that an employee is stuck in the position of seeking jobs. An employee is always on the search for what others can do for him or her. Contrast this with the entrepreneur or business owner mindset, which explores opportunity to mutually benefit from relationships with other businesses, agents, and producers. Now, let's take that to a networking event, say a voiceover conference where you'll meet agents. At least you hope to. Gerald recalls a conversation with an agent who told him that voice talents sometimes talk to him for 10 minutes about themselves and never ask what the agent or agency needs. The entire talk is about why the agent should sign that talent to the agency roster. Totally one-sided, totally self-centered. Those talents are looking for jobs with an employee mindset that often smells of neediness and desperation. Think about it. Do you want a job or a relationship? Nice to think about. And check out the entire article now at voiceoverextra.com, where you'll also find hundreds and hundreds of how-to articles for advancing your voiceover career. And guess what? It's all totally free. Just go over to voiceoverextra.com with the big X, not with the EX, and you'll find it there. So what's going on in the tech world?
Well, I was looking for something interesting to share. And in the tech news realm, the latest thing really that I've seen is that there's been a NAMM show, and NAMM does a thing called the Tech Awards.
Okay.
And the Tech Awards is sort of the Oscars of the pro audio world, if you want to call it that.
Okay.
And so I've got a few that I've picked out here from an article on protoolsexpert.com.
All right.
If you're looking for this, it's pro-tools-expert.com. Yes, and you don't have to be a Pro Tools geek to go on there. It's a good source for all sorts of audio news that's, you know, fit to chew.
Right.
So every year they do the Tech Awards. And so there's a bunch of awards that came out. And these are products that are considered to be the cutting edge, things that they consider to be outstanding, things that you might want to pay attention to. There's a lot of stuff in here
that looks irrelevant to many of you.
Yeah, right. But, you know, looking at, so cherry picking a few out of here, some things you might want to check out. Their favorite Tech Award, the Tech Award for Computer Audio Hardware, went to the Universal Audio Apollo Twin USB interface.
Wow, it's a great, great, great piece of equipment.
That's something I've been into for a long time. And notice they said the USB version because they've got a Thunderbolt version and a USB version. And the USB version is good for those on Windows. So the Thunderbolt one is Mac only. The USB version is Windows compatible. So that's one of the Tech Awards this year. In terms of headphones, they gave an award to the Sennheiser HD 25 Plus, which I think is interesting. The HD 25 is a mic headphone that goes way back. Mm-hmm. This is a classic, classic headphone, the HD 25.
Used to have them in radio studios.
Those are the ones that, they have a sort of a small round ear cup, you know, and a very simple ear headband. But they have a new version and they really, really like them. So it might be time to revisit those headphones, see what they're about. And another one that stood out to me is a new handheld dynamic mic, which could possibly be a good voiceover mic. My theory is that it might be. It's called the Shure KSM-8 dual dyne. It's a dynamic mic that has dual, it's called a dual dyne because it has dual diaphragms.
Right.
And that makes the microphone a lot more sensitive. So I'm curious to see how that mic might work out for voiceover.
Yeah.
Because, you know, these condenser mics don't travel very well.
No, they don't.
And they're super sensitive to background noise, so it could be a
This one stays here when I go on the road. Of course, you could probably use that one for a hammer, too.
Exactly.
Knowing the way Shure makes those
microphones. Yeah, well, the dual dyne is a $500 handheld dynamic.
Then don't use it as a
hammer. You're probably not going to hammer
nails. Not a good idea.
And then one more that stands out from the list here you guys may care about is the, where did it go? Oh, there's two more. iZotope.
Yep.
For those that love iZotope, they gave the Signal Processing Software Award to iZotope Ozone 7.
Right.
So they love iZotope. And then Signal Processing Hardware, for those that love outboard gear, like our friend Ted, who loves Warm Audio. Warm Audio WA2A Tube Opto Compressor got an award for Best Signal Processing Hardware. So,
I see our friends at Genelec Monitors also got an award.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I love Genelec Monitors.
Yeah.
If you look up the 8430A monitors, need space and a huge budget to have these speakers. But yeah, they are really awesome.
It was fun talking to him.
That's this year's Tech Award winners that are fit to chew for us in the voiceover world.
Outstanding. So. Well, that's about as geeky as you're going to get. Or at least that's how geeky we're going to get tonight.
That's right.
I'm sure we can probably beat that anyway. All right. Well, we've got DAWView 2017 coming up. We've got Christine Aller, who's going to be speaking with us. And we're just going to have a great time tonight. And so join us in the chat room. Chat it up. Make fun of us. We don't care as long as you're here watching VoiceOver Body Shop. And we'll be right back after this.
Hiya, VO friends. You say you ain't booked a VO gig in 7 years, and your demo is so old that you can hear the clicks from the stock music records, and you hear so much tape hiss that you run to the sink to see if the faucet is running, and the engineer used so much echo on your voice that it sounds like it was recorded in the Grand Canyon, and the scripts seem a bit dated too. Advertising the new and improved 1938 Plymouth Road King? Is that what's been troubling you, Bunky?
Well, lift your head up high and take a walk in the sun. Your demo can be killer, too. Just contact Uncle Roy at atlandproductions.com and book yourself a shiny new killer demo. Show your stick-to-itiveness and show the world you'll never give up, never give up, never give up. That dream...
Having dinner tonight? How about having some VO, too?
VoiceOver Body Shop.
Have some voiceover with your dinner tonight on VoiceOver Body Shop, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific.
Well, as always, our show, VoiceOver Body Shop, is sponsored by Source Elements. Our friends at Source Elements, the creators of Source Connect, Source Live, and a new system that they've just launched and started putting out there, which is called Source Stream. And I'll explain what that is real quick. If you're using the newest version of Source Connect, which is version 3.9, and the other person is also on version 3.9, you're now able to have a more bulletproof connection to the outside world. As you know, anybody that's used Source Connect, it's often something that's governed by, the connectivity is governed by the ability for your network to allow incoming audio or incoming data to stream in. And that can be a problem, especially in hotels when you're traveling and you have no control over the network at all. So they've got a new system called Source Stream. So those on 3.9, if the connection is established and it has a hard time opening ports and having a hard time allowing audio to stream both ways, it will fall back to Source Stream, which basically means it connects to a server in the middle and negotiates the audio back and forth between you. So it makes for the most reliable connection ever that Source Connect has offered. It really is amazing, and it does all of this seamlessly behind the scenes. You don't have to opt in, check a box, turn it on. It just does it. It just works. So they've taken the ease of use of things like iPiddle, Source Connect Now, things that use Chrome, and baked that kind of ease of use in terms of getting through networks into Source Connect. So you should give it a try. You can get a demo of Source Connect at source-elements.com. You can get a free 15-day trial. You just have to have an iLock account, but you don't have to have an iLock USB key You just have to have the account to get it to run, and that's free. So give it a shot, and we'll be right back. Thanks for watching, and we'll be right back here with Dan and DawView 2017 in a minute.
Having dinner tonight? How about having some VO, too?
VoiceOver Body Shop.
Have some VoiceOver with your dinner tonight on VoiceOver Body Shop, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific.
DawView 2017.
Got it from there? Okay. Hey, all right. Time for DawView 2017, since it's now 2017. I've been waiting to do this for weeks.
Well, at least a year.
Well, at least since we started this back in like in October or November.
Right.
When I said, hey, why don't we just do the weather on the show? And it's like, no, wait a second. We can actually show software here.
I love it.
And there it is. Anyway. Okay. So one of the problems that you're always going to have in a home voiceover studio is the fact that there is noise in your house. I mean, it's there everywhere. You got toilets, you got people walking over you, you have water flowing through the pipes, you've got, you know, garbage trucks going by. It's amazing when people send me audio, the background noise that's there. What's, and there's a couple of different types of background noise. There's what we like to call the noise floor, which is, you know, how much is noise is behind you. Maybe you've heard the term signal to noise ratio. Well, signal is your voice, which is all this stuff here. Noise is everything else that is not your voice. And we want to try and eliminate as much of that noise as possible. So a client sent me something a couple weeks ago, and we had a session. And I had a look at the audio a little bit and listen, and I kept hearing this sort of sound.
Not quite ohm.
No, not quite. Lower. But it was sort of like ohm. Mm-hmm. And I'm listening and we're talking. And if you look at just the waveform, let me look at this way. If you look at just the waveform, you don't really see it. I mean, I can zoom in on this. Let's see here. That's going the wrong way. I'm not so used to using the this Audacity stuff. You can't really see what's going on here with noise. I mean, you might see a little bit of, you know, little bits of stuff there.
Yeah.
But you can't really see it.
You see there's noise, but you can't tell what it is, really.
That's right.
You can't see frequency.
That's right. But once you see the frequency, it suddenly becomes very clear what's going on. So if you're in Audacity, I mean, you can use there's a spectrogram in Audacity that sort of helps you with this. But it really sort of doesn't. Let's see here. If we zoom out a little bit and then zoom back in, you can see here that there's something there, but it's not real clear. But we can also tell what frequency it's at. It's like below 100K. It's not as accurate in Audacity. So what I like to do is I like to go into Adobe Audition. And in Adobe Audition, yeah, you can just look at the waveform, but it has a much better spectrograph in it. And when you look at the spectrograph on this, you can see that there's something going on way down there. And looking at the scale over here, you can, if we take this all the way over, we can see over way over here. There it is, right there. The scale tells me that this hum is between 250 and below 100 hertz. Now, the human voice is between 20 hertz and 20 kilohertz. As you're all having your eyes rolled to the back of your head, that basically means that if your voice goes below that frequency, below 100 hertz, chances are you have a very deep voice. If the hum or the noise is below the frequency of your actual voice, and with women it's generally a little higher than that, then that hum is going to be there and your voice is not going to cover it up. And it also gives you the ability to get rid of it. But my philosophy is always, don't try to use filtering to get rid of this. Get rid of the source. And one of the keys, one of the things that we can use to find the source is the spectrogram. because I looked at this here and it suddenly reminded me of something. Because I used to be in my basement back in Buffalo, which my first studio was at. And maybe you remember from our old days when we were down in my basement. And then there always used to be this hum. I'm like, what is it? And then I remembered right above me was the refrigerator. And the refrigerator was making this low-level hum. Now, are we always going to hear a hum? No, because our brains tend to filter it out as a monotonous tone. So if you're sitting in your kitchen and you're having coffee and like, gee, I wonder if I have a refrigerator, you're not going to hear it until you go, is the refrigerator there? And then your brain tunes it in and it's there. The thing is, our microphones, they hear it anyway. And our software also hears it. And I was able to realize that what was going on was, I wonder. And I said, is there a refrigerator above you? And she said, no, there's one in the next room.
Mm.
So she went over there, unplugged it. And we were able to, when I went back at the next file, it was gone.
It's amazing, isn't it? How easy that is. Once you isolate the source, how easy it is.
That's right.
Gone.
Yes. And once you know what the source is, you eliminate the source physically, and that's what's going to solve your problem.
Where's that gadget? I had a remote control power switch. Where the heck did I throw? Oh, it's in my bag right behind Andrew. You see in my little duffel bag there?
All right.
Hand that to me.
All right.
If you would, kind sir. Okay. I just happen to have this thing in my bag.
We need to demonstrate this. What happens when you plug stuff like this in? Now, what's this thing has variable resistance in it.
No, my point is that instead of having to unplug your refrigerator,
plug
it into one of these things.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
This is I like this one because it's mechanical. There's no wireless thing. There's no remote control.
Mm-hmm.
So you plug this into the wall where the fridge is plugged in,
right.
And then this has a long cord on it. Put this on the countertop or whatever right next to the fridge, and you can cut your fridge on and off. Just punch the button and cut the fridge on and off. Boom, just like that. I've done the same thing with wireless switches. The problem with wireless switches, and you have to watch out for this, is some of them do not remember the state they were in after a loss of electricity. So if you have a wireless switch on your refrigerator and you go away for a week and you lose power, you might come back to a completely dead and warm refrigerator. So I do not recommend. I used to recommend wireless switches for the fridge. I no longer recommend that. Go with these hardwired switches. This one's called Prime Model PBFSTAP. That's what the model is. I don't remember where I found it.
You're kidding.
It's one of those impulse buys I found. But you know what? This is a perfect use case for one of these things.
All righty. Well, it's amazing what the electronics in the house. Generally, never is it something. People say it's the wiring in my house. Mm-hmm. It's never the wiring in your house.
Not that often.
No, it's always some electrical interference of some sort. Mm-hmm. Okay, we got one other one. Somebody sent in some audio.
Mm-hmm.
And let's give it a listen here and see if we can turn up the monitors there, Andrew, so I can hear this. And then now remember, you can send an audio to us, the guys at VOBS.TV, and we will give it a listen and see if your audio is okay.
Mm-hmm.
So let's give this a listen. You've got headphones.
I do. Oh, that's cool. Does it have a long leader, or is it just not coming on, Andrew?
So, you got yourself a big old lawn. Well, congratulations. Now, here's the bad news. It ain't going to cut itself. That's why you need to be sitting on a John Deere riding mower. It's got enough power for any terrain you might come across. Besides, it makes mowing the best part of having that lawn. John Deere.
All right. So what is the issue or comment that we does he want to get an idea of how we think it sounds?
Yeah, and your opinion on that.
Okay. We do it one more time, Andrew? I'm going to listen to it from the beginning again. I didn't have my cans turned on at the beginning. Let's roll that one more time.
So, you got yourself a big old lawn. Well, congratulations. Now, here's the bad news. It ain't going to cut itself. That's why you need to be sitting on a John Deere riding mower. It's got enough power for any terrain you might come across. Besides, it makes mowing the best part of having that lawn. John Deere.
Right. All right, that gave me a better okay, idea. Good. It's not, it's in that gray area where it's not awful, and it's not great. I mean, we hear a lot of audio, and sometimes, you know, we hear some really bad stuff where the mic, it's the wrong mic, or the mic's the wrong, talking to the wrong side. Let me say all the things that are good. It's very clear, very clean, natural representation of your voice. That's all fantastic. Minimal coloration, that sort of hollowness you get when there's too many hard surfaces near the microphone. All that stuff is on the money. Mm-hmm. The issues I hear is it's just a little bit, it sounds like you're kind of in a larger room. So you hear a little bit of room ambience, like you hear a slight amount of reflection. So that's one issue. And then you can hear just sort of a room tone that's a little bit higher than you might like. You hear the mic picking up a lot of different stuff in the room.
Right. Do you still have the desktop presenter on there, Andrew?
So you got yourself a big old lawn.
Throw that back
well,
up.
Congratulations. Here.
There, it's a miracle.
I love it.
There it is. So if we look at, you know, first off, the first thing we usually look at is modulation.
Mm-hmm.
Modulation here. Okay, it froze on us. Well, that's okay. Oh, here it comes. It's running a little
slow. Oh, there's a little lag.
Okay, there's a little lag. Okay. Mm-hmm. Modulation looks good. He's peaking at about minus, a little above minus four.
That's good.
Perfect.
Yeah.
If you can do that, that's really good.
That's a good start.
Right. And then by looking at the spectrogram here, we can see that, of course, it's a little bit on the bassy side here. I think that'll just takes a little bit for it to catch up. Because it's got to go up to a satellite, back down to Hawaii,
Apparently. Back
over a cable. There we go.
I've never seen it go that slow, but it's working.
Okay, there we go. Right down here, you can see that there's a lot of bass response in there.
Mm-hmm.
He has a very deep voice.
Mm-hmm.
So is that the right microphone for him? Can we play it one more time?
I'll listen in.
Okay.
So you got yourself a big old lawn. Well, congratulations. Now, here's the bad news. It ain't going to cut itself. That's why you need to be sitting on a John Deere riding mower. It's got enough power for any terrain you might come across. Besides, it makes mowing the best part of having that lawn. John Deere.
No, he might be working the mic a little bit tight, little close. What do you think?
Yeah, and it's causing a little bit of proximity effect when you get too close to the mic, and that's going to happen. I'm also hearing a little bit of room ambiance in there.
Yeah, there's a little bit of the room reflecting around him. And
right.
He might be working the mic extra close to try to negate that or try to counteract the room ambience. Because the closer you are to the mic, the less the mic hears of the room and the less background noise the mic hears. When you get closer to the mic, you increase the signal to noise ratio, which is often good. But then
you got yourself a big old lawn. Well, congratulations.
Later with
now, here's the bad news.
So you got to practice.
It ain't going to cut itself.
Proper mic technique.
That's why you need to be sitting on a John Deere riding mower.
Yeah, I mean, okay.
It's got enough power for any terrain you might come across.
It sounds like he's in an open
room. Besides, it makes mowing the best part of having that lawn.
An office.
John Deere.
And he might have some hard drives and a computer running in there.
And a window and something along those lines. Okay. So thanks for sending that in. All right. That's all for tech stuff tonight.
Yeah.
Let's move on to
the feature.
Your business. Christy Noller is coming up right after this, so stay tuned.
Are you confused about how to set up and maintain a professional quality voiceover studio? No wonder. The information out there is mostly mythology. This is the best microphone to use. You have to have a preamp. You need a soundproof booth. This software is the best. Your audio must be broadcast quality. Consult with someone who knows the truth. Someone who's been there, in the trenches, doing voiceover for over 30 years. Someone with unparalleled experience with voiceover studios. Who's worked with hundreds of voice actors and designed hundreds of personal studios. He knows how to teach and cares about your success. In one of the harshest environments known to voiceover, your home. Dan Leonard, the Home Studio Master. Separate myth from fact and get a handle on your personal voiceover studio. Contact the Home Studio Master at homevoiceoverstudio.com. Drop off a specimen of your dry audio for a free analysis.
Learning never ends.
You continue to grow.
Edge Studio has grown. Pursue multiple disciplines in tandem and grow your career. We've added new courses in a new curriculum.
We picked the best coaches from the community of working voice actors.
A new technology division, engineering and consulting, led by George Whittam.
Follow your dream.
Sign up for advanced learning or register for an introduction to voice acting or foundation studies program.
See it all now
at thenewedgestudio.com.
Learn the latest in voiceover technology, business, and good old-fashioned acting.
I really like your bracelet. It's awesome.
Hey, Paul, where did you get that watch?
That's really cool.
And a hamburger with no cheese, please.
Every Monday, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, only on voiceoverbodyshop.com.
All right, we're back here on VoiceOver Body Shop, and one of our favorite people is David H. Lawrence XVII. How he got that name is a whole other story. We'll ask him whenever he's on the show. But one of the things he does do is something called VO2GoGo.com, and VO2GoGo has a brand new free class. It's a free class you can take right now that will help you create a more successful, satisfying, and profitable voiceover career. It's called the VoiceOver Booking Blueprint, and you can get it by going to VO2, the number 2. That doesn't look anything like it, too. It's VO2GoGo.com, and clicking on the extraordinarily large red button at the top of the page. Now, David H. Lawrence XVII is covering some very interesting core strategies to help you if you're just getting started out in your voiceover journey, or if you're already on your way and you just want to make sure the treasure map is still valid. It's the VO2GoGo VO Booking Blueprint, and it's free at VO2GoGo.com. All righty. He has another thing, too, and you've heard about it before on our show. Are you a Rehearsal Pro user? The app for actors and voiceover talent is looking for users who'd like to participate in the beta testing of a new feature for the app, the ability to offer your services as a reader for other actors. The Rehearsal Reader community will roll out later this year, and we'd love to let you bang on it to make it spectacular. Send an email noting your interest to David Lawrence, that's LAWRENCE, at gmail.com. That's how you write to stars. He gives you his email address. And if you're not yet a Rehearsal Pro user, pop over to rehearsal.pro/download and get your copy today. That's rehearsal.pro/download. Be off the hook. Be off book. And book more work with Rehearsal Pro.
You're listening to VOBS.
This is John Bailey, the Epic Voice, and you're watching VOBS.TV, Monday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9:30 Newfoundland. In a world of audio, two men knew what they were doing, or at least they have you convinced. They put the BS in VOBS.TV.
Are you confused about how to set up and maintain a professional quality voiceover studio? No wonder. The information out there is mostly mythology. This is the best microphone to use. You have to have a preamp. You need a soundproof booth. This software is the best. Your audio must be broadcast quality. Consult with someone who knows the truth. Someone who's been there, in the trenches, doing voiceover for over 30 years. Someone with unparalleled experience with voiceover studios, who's worked with hundreds of voice actors and designed hundreds of personal studios. He knows how to teach and cares about your success in one of the harshest environments known to voiceover, your home. Dan Leonard, the Home Studio Master. Separate myth from fact and get a handle on your personal voiceover studio. Contact the Home Studio Master at homevoiceoverstudio.com. Drop off a specimen of your dry audio for a free analysis.
All righty, we're back here on VoiceOver Body Shop. Would love to introduce our guest. Christine Aller guides creative professionals
like you, that's what you are, you're creative professionals, through the process of change, whether it's shedding old ways of working or shifting to the next level or switching to an entirely new path. For almost two decades, she served a wide variety of clients, from folks in their mid-20s to folks in their late 60s. I'm getting there. What they teach or what they each had in common was their desire to bet on themselves in bigger, bolder ways. Each of them was ready to be seen, to be stretched, and to be supported by a master coach and strategist. Welcome, Christine. Ah,
thank you. I'm so excited to be here. We're going to talk gadgets. We're going to talk gear. We're going to talk tech.
Not a bit of that. Okay, We're done with that for the night. Now, this is a very interesting form of consultation. We can get into that. But tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got to that point. Who are you?
I'm just an L.A. gal. I'm an L.A. native, but my parents were like, you can do anything after you graduate college. I wanted to be an actress since I came out of the womb, and they're like, yeah, cool your boots. My mom didn't want to schlep me around to auditions, which is probably a good thing. Had a great childhood. And went to college in Oregon and then came back to Los Angeles and acted here for a decade in the unions, everything. But during that time, I discovered professional organizing, which I fell in love with. And I also fell in love with the being able to build my own business and grow something as fast as I wanted to. Because as much as I loved acting, it's hard, especially back then, you know, pre-Google and pre-YouTube and all that stuff, it was harder to just grow and do work. You kind of had to wait around and be invited to the party. Right. So I really fell in love with growing my own business. And I organized people's residencies. And then, you know, as the years went by, my clients started asking me to organize their minds. They would ask me questions while we were working on their stuff. And eventually, one person, my first strategy client, was Pat Fraley.
Ah.
And we had a conversation one time. He actually had invited me over to sort of work on the systems in part of his business. Mm-hmm. But as we were talking, I sort of was giving him a bigger vision for how he could alter things and work less and make more. And he was like, well, how do I pay you for that? And I was like, I don't know, but if you're willing to, I'll figure it out. And it was the first time someone had offered to pay me just for my thoughts. And I thought, better career plan, because moving heavy boxes around doesn't lend itself to longevity. Yeah. And so then I started doing strategy, and I retired from professional organizing in 2011, and I have been doing what I call change strategy, which is anybody going through any sort of transition, I help them do that more smoothly, more efficiently, and effectively.
Oh, okay. So you deal primarily with creative professionals, and you make that pretty clear on your site. So you're working with voice actors, actors. What other types of clients do you find?
I have authors. I have two Oscar-nominated producers. I have experts, you know, international speakers and experts in their field who want to grow their business in that way. So really anybody who's either creative or entrepreneurial or what I call just an independent professional, someone who is the engine behind what they're doing in the world. Yeah.
Interesting. So people who are creative tend to be somewhat what we say left-brained.
Or is right-brained.
Right-brained. I thought the right-brained were the mathematicians.
No, left.
Okay, it's
the other way
around. Yeah. See, I don't know any of this stuff.
Well, I'm glad you have an expert.
Oh, there we go. There we go.
Take it, see you, make it.
That's right. So we have a lot of right-brained people in the business, which is probably why I'm right-handed. Not necessarily the most organized people. A lot of creative people tend to be slobs. Here you can see my studio. And things aren't always well organized and stuff like that. Do you find that true with a lot of creative people? And so that's probably why a lot of them need your help.
Yeah, I think the thing with creative people is very often they're multi-hyphenate and they have a lot of irons in the fire.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of things pulling at their attention. And if they don't have the tendency towards natural organization, or they haven't had it role modeled for them in their house growing up, you don't really get taught how to do these things. And nowadays, you can go online and there's a ton of information about it. But then you have to be able to parse out what of that information actually applies best to you. Because my job isn't necessarily as an organizer to go over and say, this is how you do it. You set it up exactly this way. Mm-hmm. My whole thing was, okay, well, who are you? What are you trying to do? How do you like to work? And let's create an environment that supports you in your special ways. Because the truth is, there is no perfect system for something. There's no perfect planner. There's no perfect tool. They all have pros and cons, and you just have to kind of find the one that works best for you.
Sounds like a home studio.
Yeah.
It does.
It's completely. I mean, there's no one right answer, because everybody's different. Everybody's voice is different. Everybody's home is different. Every environment is different. And clearly that's the case with people and their careers.
They're like snowflakes.
Yes.
They're all different.
Absolutely.
But the other thing is that when I walk into a space, you know, it's not that I judge it, because I'm only interested in what part of it's not working for you. So if you're a creative person and the chaos of, or what someone would look at it and maybe say it's chaotic, doesn't feel that way to you, and for you it works, then that's fine. And we don't have to touch it if it works fine. I'm only interested in the parts of life and career that aren't working.
Mm-hmm. And what are some things that aren't working with people? I mean, why would they come to you and they're saying, I'm not booking work, or what are some of the things that you hear?
The reasons people come, usually they want to do more.
Don't we all?
I want to do more. They don't feel they're moving fast enough.
Mm-hmm.
Or they feel like they're treading water. They're doing a lot and really, really, really busy, but nothing's kind of coming to fruition, and they feel kind of stuck, overwhelmed, pulled in a lot of directions, and they don't have like that clarity and the focus and the plan of action.
Because people forget. A lot of people who are creative professionals, it's like, I need to create, but it's a business. And, you know, we were always talking about, we even talked about it in the, during the news, that it's, are you an employee or are you someone who is an entrepreneur?
Yeah, and it's tough because in the creative, any creative business, any self-employed business, it's up and down. And so when the jobs are coming, when the auditions are coming, when you're tending to all that stuff, there's not a lot of time. So then you get into the down period and there's frustration. And then it's sort of like, okay, well, I need to get all of this in order, but I don't quite know how. And so I'm not using that downtime effectively, which doesn't help you swing back up in the up quickly. But then the ups can come, and then, again, you're totally taken away and distracted, as you should be. I mean, when the auditions come and the work come, audition and work. That's the whole point of the whole thing.
Right. Yeah, and that's the process. It can be totally chaotic, and there are distractions. And so what's your process? How do you get people to find their way and organize out?
It's the strategic work that I do with people. It's different for every person. Everybody has a different set of resources of time, energy, and money. Everyone's circumstances are different. But I like to explain what I do as clients come to me and we put all the puzzle pieces of their life and career out on the table. And we sort of start, I get a feel for what is it that you want to do, what is, you know, the priorities. And then I start to arrange the puzzle pieces to form sort of a plan. And hey, look at these a different way. And a lot of times, I mean, my clients are smart people. My clients are proactive. They are ambitious, so they're striving. And very often they're doing a lot of the right things just in the wrong order, or an order that's not advantageous for them to be moving efficiently and effectively.
Right. Because creative people are driven by what it is they create.
Yeah.
And emotions.
Yeah.
And emotions. Well, some of us are in the emotions, some of us are in
feelings.
Yeah, feelings.
I am driven by my feelings.
Okay. So you have to sort of like break through that and tell people, you've got a business here. You want to be able to make a living doing this. And so what are some things that a creative person can do to think more like an entrepreneur as opposed to a creative person?
Well, I think the part of speaking to a creative person in terms of what you were talking about earlier about are you the owner of your business versus an employee, a lot of that is also the mindset of ownership, of understanding that, hey, what I'm doing is important. It's not only important for what I give to the world, but it's important because this is what I feel like I'm called to do. And when you are an owner of a business, you are taking ownership of it, which means you're considering it important, which means you're putting your agenda first in your life. An employee is very much more at the beck and call of what other people want them to do.
Right.
I mean, even if we're just talking about life, you can have an employee mindset in life and like, I have to do for my family, I have to do for this, I have to do for this. Oh, when is my stuff going to get attended to? You have to be the owner, the boss, and declare for yourself that your agenda is important in your life. And part of the reason people don't claim that ownership and don't put their agenda first is they're unclear on what their agenda actually is. The more clarity you have around your agenda, the more important it starts to look. Because if your day job or the other pulls on your time and energy and money have more clarity than your dreams and ambitions do, you will gravitate towards clarity. People, humans, gravitate towards clarity and structure. That's why so many creatives, even though they're like, oh, I want to do all of this stuff, give way more of their time and attention to their day jobs because there's structure and you get rewards like a paycheck and thanks and a pat on the back.
Most of the time.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
You know, but if you start, what I strive to do with my clients is we are trying to give structure to your dreams and make them all sparkly and wonderful. So you want to spend more time doing those.
Right. So it comes down to really the things that you're passionate about, the things that you're good at, and the things that you're good at that you're passionate about, as opposed to the things you're good at that perhaps you're not so passionate
about. Talent is not an obligation.
Ooh, it's good to know.
And just because you can do something and everyone's like, you should do that. You could make a whole career out of it. You don't want to. You don't have to. That's the joy of being an adult. You get to pick. You get to choose.
Like, what a concept. So, you know, if someone comes to you and says, you know, I do this for a living. People say I'm great at it, but I really love doing this. As you're saying, you're arranging the pieces of the puzzle. I take it that's part of that process, is really examining what it is that they really, really enjoy doing, that they can be passionate about, but can also help them make a living.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. So what are some keys to you when you're talking to somebody, what tends to make you think, oh, you like doing this? It's a matter of asking the right questions, I imagine.
Yeah, it's actually quite rare that someone will come to me not knowing that, the answer to that question. I'm not really there to figure out or help them figure out what they want to do.
Right.
And the reason that's not what I help people with is because that's not a journey I ever had to take. So I don't know quite how to figure out what it is you want to do. I've just always known that. And I can only help people with the experience that I've kind of had.
Right.
But I have clients come to me going, I want this and this and this and this. That's what I get. It's like,
that's
what
you've got to prioritize.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
So that's about prioritization and the reasons behind why you want it, because there might be a common theme to those that in your head it's very compartmentalized, but it might be, oh, what you really want is this. And you can get it in any of these ways. So which way would you most, what would be easy? And there's a way that might be easier. There's a way that might be more lucrative. There's a way that might be more fun. So then it's about the choices and how you want to do that.
Right.
And that, for me, I'm at service to the client.
Right.
And it's really about them.
Right. If it's not fun, why do it? I guess that's one way to look at
because
it.
Because he asked me to be on the show.
That's
right.
Why. Exactly. Right.
If it doesn't feed your soul.
Yeah, exactly.
If it feed your soul, don't
yeah.
do it.
Yeah, if anybody has a question for Christine Ollery, I'm sure you're all going, oh, man, I want to work with this gal. Get it in the chat room. And I know Jack Daniel is in there, and he'll relay it to me and George, and we will be able to tell her what these questions are, and she can actually answer them in a little bit. But let me ask you this. I mean, what are, like, the three things that you'd recommend our viewers do that would help immediately create more momentum in their careers?
Okay. So the first one I would say to that is have a meeting with yourself every week, Sunday night, Monday morning, where you plan your week. Okay. Now, I know exactly what some people might be thinking when they hear that. It's like, plan my week, especially in the voiceover world. I totally understand that it's such a reactive treadmill.
It's utter chaos,
because the auditions come in, you have to do it, you want to keep the clients happy, and it's kind of very reactive. And when you live in kind of that reactive world, you're thinking, well, what's the use of planning my agenda? My agenda is just to be there. Right. But planning is partially about deciding the actions you're going to take and the to-dos and the goals that you're going to serve. But part of what planning is also is just to decompress your brain and to get your thoughts out there and to look at things in a bigger picture perspective rather than to be down in the details all the time. So once a week you come out, you go, okay, this is the week ahead. I will probably have auditions and work to do unexpectedly or life unexpected, but just in case the week looks kind of like it looks like this, this is what I am going to decide to do with the time that I have available for me. And on my website, christineoller.com, there's a whole section that's free. And part of what's free up there is a video and a download of my weekly planning chart, which I created for my creative clients who don't like to plan. And that'll explain my method, which is just a method. Like I said, there's no perfect way, but this would just give you a way to start the approach. And the other thing is about planning your week and deciding what it is you'd want to do if you had time to do it, is you want to have this feeling of fruition every week, of like, I moved the needle on my career. And sometimes the needle gets moved because you get auditions or you get work, but that's actually outside of your control very often. And the feeling of ownership and fruition comes when you can see how you are moving the needle. And if you start to feel fruition at the end of every single week, that's how you keep your spirit up and also start to build this momentum in your life. Because if you're moving the needle consistently every single week, stuff's gonna start to happen. And this feeling of burnout, depression, and just kind of feeling like your spirit's just getting chipped away, especially in the isolating world of voiceover, very often it's because you're not feeling the feeling of fruition. I think that's what keeps us going. Accolades also keep us going, but those are far and few between sometimes. But this feeling of fruition can really sustain you. So one of the things I would suggest that you can do right away is start meeting with yourself and planning your week. The other good thing about planning your week is you get to see what falls off your chart, falls off your
to-do list. Yeah.
And then it's really like, do I really want to do this? Because I never seem to get to it. And what's behind that? What's behind that? Okay, so the second thing I would say is read the book Essentialism, The Disciplined Pursuit of Less by Greg McKeown.
Oh, yeah. Like, I stumbled on something about this recently on YouTube, I think it was. Yeah.
Required reading for everybody in my mastermind group. All of my Leap Year clients have to read this book. It's great. And it's one of those books that you can reread once a year. And depending on where you're at in life, other things, different things in it will pop out at you. I read it 3 times in 2016 and made 3 little tweaks to my life that made a huge amount of difference. And then I assigned it to everybody. So that's a great book. And that's definitely, it's an easy read. I hear the audiobook is not so great, so just read the book. And it's better to have it because then you can really refer back. Hmm. And the third thing I would say is I'm very, very intent on encouraging people to get into a mastermind group or a mastermind relationship with someone. And mastermind is just a word.
People in your business who can support you and come up with additional ideas, that sort of thing.
Brainstorming, support, who can follow the arc of your journey.
Right.
And really understand. And that's a safe place to share your accomplishments as well. And these can take many forms. It can be something between just two people. I, in fact, today had my mastermind meeting with my partner, and we meet once a month. No agenda. We just show them like, okay, here's what I need your advice on, and we do the same. We've been doing this once a month for 5 years, and she has changed my life. I can't imagine the last 5 years without her. And it's not that you have to have somebody in the same business, but you want someone who's equally ambitious, equally committed to going on this journey with you. It can also be a formal situation where, I've been in groups as an organizer, national associations, local chapters, where you kind of go and meet everybody else and are able to really get guidance. And in fact, we had our, chapter meetings, but it wasn't really focused on our individual businesses. So a group of organizers and I got together. I think there were 8 of us, and we hired a coach and said, we want to meet for 16 weeks. We'll pay
organizers got together to get organized.
Imagine that.
What a concept.
Imagine.
Boy, who organized that?
Yeah.
And we met around his table for 16 weeks and really just dissected our businesses and brainstormed and got some of his guidance to add to our business acumen. So that's another way to do it. And in LA, I lead mastermind groups, the Inspired Action Mastermind. And this is a different kind of group because there's a coach like me who's facilitating and actually giving guidance and creating a space in which growth can happen and ideas can be tracked and shared and really building a community of like-minded people who are able to not just come for themselves, but come to contribute to everyone else. But I'm passionate about that. It's my absolute favorite mode of coaching is because I think magic happens in groups. One-on-one has its own
dynamic,
specialty. Yeah.
Right.
But groups are amazing when you find one that really clicks.
It's like the hive mind. The hive mind, right? It's the collectiveness of all those people, and then people benefit from the other ideas.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I think it even goes back to Think and Grow Rich. Napoleon Hill talked about that a lot in his book, about how you've always got to meet with a mastermind group. I think he actually called it that. It's great. I have a meetup group that I meet up every week. Otherwise, I would not know who you are, because someone who worked in that group said, you need to talk to Christine Aller. This is the great thing about this. Now, you teach a lot of you teach people how to do some of these things, but one of the great things that you do that's available on your website, or where it's available if you're subscribed to your mailing list, is you do videos.
Oh, yeah.
That are great helps to remind you and to help you look at, well, how do you look at this? You look at this a little bit differently, and it's like, darn, she's right. What got you started doing those, and what kind of topics do you cover those? All right, we know you're an actress, so being on camera is no big deal.
But what? They're my golden nugget videos, and you can subscribe for free on my website, as you said. But, the reason I actually did them was purely selfish. They turned out to be a great marketing thing for me, but that was actually a secondary concern. It was more for like, you know what? Okay, so here's the thing is I have always just lived by designing a life where I do the least amount of effort for the maximum result. That's how all of my choices are like, what's the least amount of effort to get the result that I want? And so I had all these like little tiny things that I would say to people over and over and over. And I get bored when I'm just repeating myself with the same thing. So I'm like, hey, if I could film these, then I could just say, oh, watch this. Oh, do that. Oh, watch over here. So it was really for me to have a library that I can just, oh, you need to watch this video. So I don't have to now explain it. So it's totally a selfish thing. And it has worked really well for that as well. But then what I realized, too, is like, okay, this will be a good investment for my business because it gives a way for people to share me, you know, on social media or just with other people. And the reason I decided to do video is because I also wanted people to be able to figure out if I was a good match for them, if I was their right people, like, oh, I like her. I could listen to that voice without driving me crazy. And I like her style and I get her approach. And so it was very much like, hey, take me for a test drive. Mm-hmm. Because not every person and every, even if, oh, Christine Aller has helped these people do this, that doesn't necessarily still mean I'm going to be the right coach for you at the right time. You have to make that decision. Then I have to make the decision as well. And if we do come together, then it's like, okay, great. Now we know. And what's wonderful about that is that when people now call me, it's because they already know they have decided to work with me. And there's less, now I just have to kind of make sure it feels good to me, but it's a much quicker thing than like, let's vet each other back and forth and figure it out. So, yeah.
Makes complete sense. Check them out. They're a lot of fun.
We've got a ton of questions coming in.
We do. We do. Yeah. Well, we'll get to those in just a little bit. So if you've got a question, again, throw it in the chat room, and Jack Daniel will give it to us, and we will throw it to Christine Aller in just a minute here on VoiceOver Body Shop. So do not go away.
Learning never ends.
You continue to grow.
Edge Studio has grown. Pursue multiple disciplines in tandem and grow your career. We've added new courses in a new curriculum.
We pick the best coaches from the community of working voice actors.
A new technology division, engineering and consulting, led by George Whittam.
Follow your dream.
Sign up for advanced learning or register for an introduction to voice acting or foundation studies program.
See it all now
at thenewedgestudio.com.
Yep, this is VOBS. Proven anybody can have a show these days.
In a world of audio, two men knew what they were doing, or at least they have you convinced. They put the BS in VOBS.TV.
Well, you know, Harlan Hogan has been with us darn near 6 years now.
That's right.
Now, one of the things that he has is a really cool little gadget that you really need. And here's what he has to say about it. Bask in the warm glow of love and the velvety soft red glow of our exclusive voiceover recording sign. Switch it on to tell your significant other just how much you care and just how much you'd appreciate their keeping a lid on it whilst you are making a living. It's an unsubtle way of reminding them that without silence, there can be no flowers and candy. So right outside our door here, we'll get a look at it. This is what the voiceover sign looks like. It's a great little device. It's now mine changes color. I played with it a little bit.
Dan hacked it.
I hacked a Harlan sign, but if you've got that outside your door, you're outside your studio, people will know, I'm recording. Leave me alone.
Maybe.
Hopefully. And because we love you, and because they really love you, you can save $20 when you go to the link below, the one right down at the bottom of the page. Is it down there somewhere? Okay, yeah. There it is. It's down there. Click on the thing of Harlan Hogan and go over there, and they'll revert to their hard. Well, what they'll do is they'll take $20 off. They'll take $20 off of that sign and send it to you. It comes nicely wrapped, and you just plug it in and hang it out outside your door. But only for until it's only until the stroke of midnight tomorrow night.
Ooh.
And yeah, until tomorrow night, midnight, Tuesday night, and then they'll revert to their hard-hearted, stingy selves at the stroke of midnight. So it'll go back.
This is why you have to watch the show live.
That's right.
Every week.
That's right.
Thumbs up, Harlan Hogan. Yeah. Good stuff.
Harlan, Harlan likes her. He thinks she's great. Well, we think Harlan is great, and we think the voiceover recording sign is also great. I've had mine for a good long time. Held it outside the door, and has it helped? No, but it surely looked great out there. So anyway, it's just the way it is in a family. Anyway, go over there and get your Harlan Hogan voiceover recording sign. And thanks, Harlan, for being with us almost six darn years. And he's still with us. Who knows? We'll be right back.
Are you confused about how to set up and maintain a professional quality voiceover studio? No wonder. The information out there is mostly mythology. This is the best microphone to use. You have to have a preamp. You need a soundproof booth. This software is the best. Your audio must be broadcast quality. Consult with someone who knows the truth. Someone who's been there, in the trenches, doing voiceover for over 30 years. Someone with unparalleled experience with voiceover studios, who's worked with hundreds of voice actors and designed hundreds of personal studios. He knows how to teach and cares about your success. In one of the harshest environments known to voiceover, your home. Dan Leonard, the Home Studio Master. Separate myth from fact and get a handle on your personal voiceover studio. Contact the Home Studio Master at homevoiceoverstudio.com. Drop off a specimen of your dry audio for a free analysis.
Man, there's one show that I can't miss. It's called VOBS. And a lot of people are like, VOBS? What is that?
That is BS about VO.
And I love VO. How much BS is going to be in this show? There's only one way to find out, baby.
Welcome back to VoiceOver Body Shop. Christine Aller is our guest. We're talking about how to make the best of your career and make positive changes and stuff. We've got a lot of great questions from our amazing audience. They're not in our studio. They're in their studios all across the Fruited Plain. And our first one comes from Shelley Avellino, who joins us from Las Vegas every week. And she said, I used the one-page business plan for my business plan and goals for 2017. What's your advice for doing those horrible left-brain business stuff that us right-brain creative people dread?
Okay, that's kind of a difficult, like, I have four more questions to ask Shelley. Like to give
knowing her like I do, maybe I'll know the answer.
No, but I'm just saying usually okay. So let me, in a more kind of general sense.
Okay.
Don't underestimate if you have the ability to get someone else to do them. Because when I started to offload the things that I didn't want to do to other people, it freed up so much energy in my life because I just was like, I don't want to do that. I got my very first assistant because I needed to transfer a big mailing database into another big mailing database and I didn't want to learn how to do it. I knew I could. But I was just at a point, it just wasn't getting done. So I was like, okay, you've got to have someone do this. And then working with that assistant, and it's not terribly expensive. Everyone's like, oh my God, hiring an assistant is just going to be hundreds and hundreds of dollars. But what someone who's really good and already knows how to do that kind of stuff, what they can get done in 5 hours or 10 hours a month can be a game changer. So
yeah, they're not busy doing auditions and all that other stuff.
Right. And very often there can be a pride that's taken in self-employed people of being able to do it all. Or you're like, well, I already know how to do it, so I should just make myself do it. But I think part of shifting to the next level of success is bringing other people on and starting to offload that kind of stuff off your plate.
Yeah, I mean, okay. I know how to change my oil, but I am not changing my oil. I've stopped changing my oil a long time ago. So, you know, it's time to delegate once in a while.
Yeah. So sometimes there's that. But let's say you don't have the ability or the means at the moment to do that. Then I think it's sort of looking at, okay, well, what gets in the way of you doing it? And if it's, I can't seem to focus when those are like those gnarly tasks that I'm just not built to do. Sometimes having someone body double mm-hmm. which is a term, an actual term, but it's having someone in the room with you who is not necessarily helping you or doing anything, but they're focused on their task so that you can focus on your task. Very often that's the reason why people work in coffee shops, because they actually can focus better when other people are around them also working. Mm-hmm. Some people like work in coffee shops because they need the ambient noise. But sometimes it's because of focus. So
and they need caffeine.
Right. And the other thing is, if you make an appointment with someone, like, look, you come over and do the stuff you have to do, and then I'll sit here and do the stuff I have to do. First of all, there's a little bit of camaraderie. And also, it's an appointment on your calendar. So adding someone to that mix gives it more weight. Like, oh, I've got to actually show up and then spend these hours doing that. So honestly, if you're not finding that you're being able to get yourself to do it on your own, then stop beating your head against that wall and bring in other people. And you don't necessarily pay that person if they're doing their own work. They might be like, yeah, I'll come over and just do this. And it doesn't have to be a colleague. It can literally be the 15-year-old who needs to do their homework, and they sit there and do that, and that will help you focus and do that, and it will make it an appointment, you know.
Oh,
that's a good
idea. That would be sort of the first way I'd go with that. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's her issue. Like I said, I needed four more questions, but that's...
Yeah, write to her, Shell. George?
This one comes in from Paul Stefano, and he asks, can everybody learn personal organization, or are there truly lost causes out there? Paul,
yeah.
Is that you?
Well, everyone's on a spectrum.
Right.
I don't think there's any question about that.
All the way from hoarding, which is a psychological issue, not an organizational issue.
Right.
But what I can say is that 90% of the people who had me over to their house to get organized actually didn't have an organizational problem. A disorganizational problem is when I walk into a house and there's like CDs that are kept in the kitchen and clothes that are in the living room. And just like things aren't with like, and everything is everywhere. And there's just no concept of grouping things together. That's a disorganizational problem. Hmm. But most of my clients, their lives had moved on and their environments had stayed the same. Hmm. So their environment, which once felt fine, no longer feels fine because they have shifted. And our job was really getting their environment to get back in line and supporting not only who they are, but who they want to be. And so it's really just a transitional catch-up. Because very often, if you really think about it, at one time, where you set up worked for you. This is a great example. I had a voiceover client, actually, and went over to her apartment. And she wanted, you know, okay, I want to get my office so I can do more work. Well, she was sharing this room with her husband, and her desk, I mean, the amount of workspace she had to actually do any work was like a postage stamp. And I was like, well, the reason your career has been just this much successful is because you have just this much room for it. And if we can give you the room that you are actually need, because she was successful, she was just, that's the problem. She couldn't handle the success that was coming her way. And it was like, well, you're not going to be able to handle it from this desk. And we really talked about it and looked at her apartment. She had this beautiful dining area. Well, who's she entertaining for? I'm like, you need a space for your voiceover business. And if you take over this dining room for, you know, the admin stuff and really give yourself the space, then that will help you get the means to move into a bigger place where you can have a bigger office and a dining room. So it wasn't like she was disorganized, although that's what she was feeling, like, ah, it's not working anymore. And it's like, yeah, that's just because you've changed and your environment hasn't.
Ah.
Yeah.
All righty. Jack Daniel asks, Christine, have you ever learned something pertinent to your work that you hadn't thought of from a client?
Never.
Never.
Are you kidding me? I know everything. I know nothing. I learn everything from my client. The business, like I said in that story about Pat Fraley, the business I have today was not my idea. Like, it takes other people very often to be like, hey, can you do this for me? And I'm like, oh, yeah. Or, hey, can you teach me how to do this? Oh, yes, I can. I didn't know you wanted that. But now that I do know, I will give it to you. So very often, I have learned so much. I learned a lot about pricing from my clients because I learned this as an organizer. I would meet them. Oh, and you know, you're an actor and blah, blah, blah. Okay, well, you know, bleeding heart. I have such a bleeding heart for fellow performers. It's like, okay, I'll give you this discount, no problem. Drive up to their house. I'm like, what?
What the?
Oh, okay. Fooled me once. But yeah, so just I've learned everything. And very often the insights that I've had that have been my insights have been sparked or have come into my mind just because of the interaction with clients. So it's not like I knew all this stuff and was like, you know what I need? Some clients. I need some people to just tell all this wonderful stuff that I know to. No, it's like you start out, I think everyone does, who is in the helping business, of like, oh, I learned something. Hey, I bet I could teach you that and tell you this and save you some time, energy, and money. Yeah.
Like you have a refrigerator that's right above.
Yeah, and then I learn a little more, I can teach a little more. I actually didn't answer the other question because he said, can everybody learn this organizational stuff? And I didn't actually answer that question. And the truth is, so we're all on a spectrum. Some people can't. Some people, it's just going to be a difficult thing. Just like I have really a lot of difficulty learning languages. I'm probably just not, it's going to be difficult, you know, and that just part of my brain is missing. So for some people, that part of their brain is missing and that's fine. You just get help with it. But other people, sure, it is a skill set and it can be learned. And there's a lot of books and YouTube. And so if you really apply yourself, you can certainly get better at it. For me, I'm just someone hires an organizer just to make a shortcut. I'm just like, look at me, look at this and work your magic and tell me a few things I need to know. Mm-hmm. That's all. It's just a shortcut.
All right. George, you are a master of calendars and you have a question about that.
Yeah, I'm kind of calendar obsessed actually. And I'm talking about Google Calendar.
Okay.
Do you find that using a calendar instead of a traditional to-do list might be a good idea? And I'm asking this rhetorically because I think it's an awesome idea.
Okay, well, the first thing is a calendar and a planner and a to-do list are three separate tools. It's not that they can't be combined, but let's just acknowledge we're looking at three separate things. So how are you using – how are you integrating a to-do list with a calendar as a better combo? What are you?
Well, maybe, and this is why I think I brought it up, because I don't know if it's always the most effective, but what I've been doing is when I'm given a to-do list item to do, I find that if it goes into a traditional to-do list, however that looks on a whiteboard or a plan or something, I have to schedule in time to do the to-do. So rather than put a thing in the calendar that says do your to-dos, I eliminate the middleman and I put the to-do in the calendar. So that thing I have to do has a hole in the calendar when I have to do that thing.
Yeah.
That's how I kind of eliminate the traditional to-do list. Do you think that's
kind of risky behavior?
It works for you.
Risky. Yeah, first of all, is it working for you? Because
I think so, for the most part.
If it's working for the most part, it's pretty good. If it's really working and there's not like huge things, you're not losing huge.
As long as I use it. Like, as soon as something comes up, I have to be disciplined and immediately put it in the calendar.
The system doesn't do the work. You have to work the system.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
No, okay.
But I think it does work.
But that's true. It's very similar what you're doing by cutting out the middleman of a to-do list and just putting it on your calendar and actually deciding when you're going to do it. It's very similar to my weekly planning chart.
Ooh.
Although the weekly planning chart isn't a calendar or an appointment book, because that's not necessarily where you're keeping all your appointments. I keep all my appointments in my calendar, But then each week I'm like, okay, this, I put them on my planner so I can see the open spaces, because the open spaces are where I can put my to-dos.
Yeah.
And another thing people do, no matter how they're using a to-do list, is very often they put goals on a to-do list. Marketing plan. Yeah, that's a goal, which has maybe 50 to-dos. A to-do is an actual action. Call this person, get that thing, order this thing. Like, it's an action that has a beginning, middle, end. And goals and projects have a beginning and a middle of an end, but it can take many, 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 many to-dos. And if you keep putting projects on a to-do list, you never get to cross anything off, and then it just feels like you're not getting anything
done. Yeah. I know how that feels. I think that's why I migrated to this method. And then if something does, stuff comes up. So if you don't get to it, the beauty of a digital calendar is you literally click and drag it.
Yep.
You do not delete it. You do not ignore it. You have to
move it somewhere else
so right. It gets done. And that seems to have worked pretty well for me a little bit.
It sounds like a good system.
All right. Mm-hmm. Dr. Nathan Cundiff asks, what's something powerful that I can do to enable a mindset reset toward dumping the employee mindset?
Whoa. That's a humdinger.
Mm. That is a question. Okay. Well, okay. So see, the question I would have to him is, what part of the employee mindset are you kind of spinning in? Hmm. Are you spinning in the area where you're not feeling confident and ownership around what you're really doing? Are you spinning in the employee mindset of like, oh, I'm serving 18 masters, you know? And so it's like, okay, well, you need to be the master and decide. And then it's about, okay, well, how do you renegotiate those relationships or drop some things or weed some things out? And the book Essentialism will totally help with that area. Or are you spinning in the employee mindset where you're just down in the details the whole time and your whole business is just a grind through a to-do list that never ends? And that's really about reconnecting with the purpose of why you're doing this. And what is the vision of what are you trying to build with this? Because an owner has a vision. It's not just an owner doesn't grind through details and call it a career. A career is about having a vision. So I can answer that. I just don't know which one you're in.
Sounds like an email might be in order.
Yes. That's why she's here, folks. Want some help? Get in touch with Christine. I think we got time for maybe one or two more here.
Yeah. Devox asks, and you've given us a bunch already, so maybe you can pull one more out, possibly squeeze one more out of these gold nuggets out.
Maybe.
He says, how about a couple of unusual or unexpected time and efficiency nuggets? And I know you've got those videos for nuggets,
okay.
But is there one, just one thing maybe that you've tried for you that works maybe?
Okay, so here's one that's paradoxical in the way that my clients come to me and they always want to get more done. So, but really, very often, they're trying to get more done and their tanks of energy are just so low. They're running on fumes. And then when they need to do something, they go down to the tip of their toes and pull up that energy to do it. But you can't sustain that. So really, to get more things done or to move through the things you want to get done faster and more effectively and efficiently is if you do it with full tanks. And that requires rejuvenating, which is not work. And this was a hard thing for me to really learn because I had the synapses wired in my brain that if I was not actively working, I was actively failing. So I had to be working all the time or I would start to be actively failing. That's toxic. But I was able to untie that knot and really understand the power of taking time to rejuvenate. And some people do that alone. some people do that in groups. You have to know what fills your tanks up. But actually doing that and making sure, if you're not doing any of it, once a month, taking a day to consciously do that. And sometimes that just might be laying on the floor and staring at the ceiling, because that's where you are. And the other thing is your brain knows that you've put that day on the calendar. So it knows, okay, we got a day.
We'll get there eventually.
We're going to get there. Because what we do is like, oh, brain, oh, just get me through this week. Just get me through this month. And your brain's like, we'll do that for a while. And then it'll be like, you're not ever going to stop, are you? So we're just going to shut you down. You know, a sick day is not a rejuvenation day. So nor is necessarily vacation, because a lot of times vacations are trips. You might be going somewhere, but if you're going with family or going with an agenda or going with something that you have to do.
Your USB mic.
Yeah.
That's a trip, not a vacation. Mm. So calling a thing what it is and really understanding when it's a day for you to rejuvenate and when it's not, that also will kind of be a hack into whatever the question was.
Okay.
Well, there you go. That was good.
Yes. You weren't expecting such a mental workout tonight, were you?
Those were intense. Those were really great questions, though.
The last one's really easy, though.
Yeah.
Because it's a plug. Because you get to plug.
Yeah.
And it's from Announcer.
Let me get my hair ready to plug.
Yes. Yes.
From Doug Announcer. And he says, how often do your new mastermind groups start? And how often do they meet?
Is that Doug Turkel?
Yes, it is.
Oh, my God. He's the best gift giver, just going to say.
Yes, he is.
So my mastermind groups, the Inspired Action Mastermind groups, meet every month only in Los Angeles, unfortunately. Yes, well, fortunately for those in Los Angeles. But I love working face-to-face, eyeball-to-eyeball with people in a room. And I've done things online before. I might do groups online again. But right now, while I'm here and there's so many people in Los Angeles, that's how I want to work. But there, for those of you in LA, once a month, Thursday mornings, there might be a Saturday group later in the year, 2.5 hours each meeting, and they're going to be amazing. I've been leading mastermind groups every single month consecutively for the last 17 years. This Inspired Action Mastermind is a brand new, much more in-depth, much more kind of intense experience. And it starts in March, and February is the enrollment period for the next 4 months.
Excellent.
Yeah, thanks,
Doug. Alrighty. Christine, thank you so much for being
here
tonight.
Dan.
You're just a bundle of energy. It makes
George.
It easy to be an interviewer. Alrighty. All right, well, George and I are going to wrap things up into a nice tight little bow right after this. Thanks for watching. We'll be right back.
Yay. Hi, VO friends. You sure you ain't booked a VO gig in 7 years? And your demo is so old that you can hear the clicks from the stock music records. And you hear so much tape hiss that you run to the sink to see if the faucet is running. And the engineer used so much echo on your voice that it sounds like it was recorded in the Grand Canyon. And the scripts seem a bit dated too, advertising the new and improved 1938 Plymouth Road King. Is that what's been troubling you, Bunky?
Well, lift your head up high and take a walk in the sun. Your demo can be killer, too. Just contact Uncle Roy at atlandproductions.com and book yourself a shiny new killer demo. Show your stick-to-itiveness and show the world. You'll never give up, never give up, never give up. That dream.
Hi,
You're listening to VOBS. Every Monday, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific.
Voiceover Body Shop. I love when they talk BS about VO.
And we're back here on Voiceover Body Shop. She was great.
Excellent. I knew she would. Anytime we have people that help with just life coaching, organization stuff, is a huge hit. You know,
it always is. Great. And our folks out there need that stuff. It's voiceover is a tough business, and you really got to be well organized for it.
It is a real business.
Absolutely. Well, next week on this very show,
Yes. Celia Siegel will be joining us. Celia Siegel Management. She lives in Minneapolis, so she's freezing her butt off. But other than that, she is an expert on branding, goal planning, and that sort of stuff. She's really the well-known person about branding, and branding's one of those interesting things we talk about. Mm-hmm. The following week, on the 13th of February, Chris Borders from Tiki Man Productions will be here in studio.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm curious to learn all about him.
Yeah, that'll be kind of cool. And we've got a few more cool ones coming up. I know we have the folks from Source Connect will be joining us in a couple of weeks, too. Mm-hmm. So, you know, got to find out about those studio-to-studio communication
things.
Lots
of new technology coming down the pipeline.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Who are our donors of the week? And we are grateful to them.
Yes, we are. We're the top of the list right now because it's the latest one to come in. It's from Martha Kahn.
Yeah,
Eric
Martha.
Aragone. We got Eric every single episode. That man is amazing with the donations. Shanna Pennington Baird, going down the list. Antland Productions.
Thanks, Uncle Roy.
Thank you, Uncle Roy. Greg Thomas from deepwarmvoice.com. Thank you, Greg. Very generous. Going down the list, Shelly Avellino.
Well, she got her question answered.
She did.
A lot
Wait a minute. Is that another one? Oh, yeah. No, it's the same one.
Okay.
She's an automatic donor, by the way. A lot of these folks are people that are subscribing, and they sign up and have a sustaining donation come out of their PayPal automatically.
We appreciate it.
It could be a dollar a month.
That's right. It helps us be out here in the desert.
It helps us get a green screen.
In this trailer park here.
Michael Martin and Diana Birdsall. And it goes, oh, man, there's more on here that I missed earlier. Patty Gibbons. So thank you very much.
Lots of great folks out there. We really appreciate it. Let's see here. You know, you can get VOBS logo gear.
Yeah, we do. We actually
It's right up here. If you're watching on our website, it's right up here. It's a big red banner. Click on it. Anything you want, any possible thing that could be put a logo could be put on.
And some things that shouldn't
be. Yes, they are there. Yeah, so check that out. Uh-huh. What's going on over at Edge?
Well, this is the very last chance you have at hiring me at a discount using my Fresh Sound deal. So if you get a half an hour for $99 one-on-one, I'll listen to your audio. You can send me three different audio samples. I'll analyze them, give you some notes on what you can do to improve it. It's just a good way to kick off the year, and that's available through tomorrow night. That's the 31st at midnight. That's when that deal ends. So to get that, you just go to vobs.tv. Well, actually, it'd be easier just to go right to their website, website.
Yeah.
Go to edgestudiotechnology.com. Go to edgestudiotechnology.com, and right there on the front page, you'll see a big button. Girl wearing some oranges on her head. That gets you signed up for Fresh Sound.
All right. If you want to be here to watch the show live, we have a live studio audience in here all the time, and it's great.
A clapping one.
Yeah.
And a new camera.
Yeah, and a new
A much better,
Better camera. It's your old camera. We're using my old camera back there. But anyway, just write to us at theguys@vobs.tv and let us know that... you want to be here. We have food. We can't see the food.
Always have snacks.
Great craft service.
Healthy snacks.
Yes.
Whole Life Challenge compliance snacks.
Yes, this week. They absolutely are.
How's that going for you, by the way?
I'm doing fabulous.
How do you feel?
How do I feel? Hydrated.
Good.
Highly hydrated.
Me too.
It's drinking a lot and a lot.
A lot of trips to the bathroom.
You know, but you can do anything for 6.5 weeks. Mm-hmm.
You feel like, where have you noticed in the last week and a half?
That I'm really hungry at night.
Yeah, me too. Nighttime is really hard.
Going through a lot of pistachios.
Yeah. Did you lose any weight? Is that
I'm not gaining. I think I got back to where I started from.
So, well, that's pretty good.
So we're going to get
to pre-holiday weight?
Pre-holiday weight, yes.
Hey. That's something else. I've lost maybe 4 pounds in the last week.
Oh, well, you're riding your bike up and down the canyon, avoiding the boulders and all that stuff. So
literally.
All right. Let's see. Show logs. We know where to get the show logs. They're right up there. Jack DeGoley's taking every word down that we say. The podcast. Listen to the podcast. You can, for those of you that need VO No on the go, I just invented that. You can listen to the podcast.
I like.
All right.
It's a long show.
Yeah.
I know.
But if you're like driving from here to San Francisco or from Iowa to Nebraska.
Or washing the dishes.
Or any of that
stuff. A week's worth of dishes. Like I might have.
You know, that happens when you're in the voiceover business. Mm-hmm. Let's see. The survey. We'd love you to take the survey. Just click on the survey link up here on our page and let us know what you think of our show and what you'd like to see and hear on our show. Mm-hmm. What else we got on here?
That's the most important stuff. Just how to be in the audience, how to be here, and how to listen to the show. So let's give it a wrap and thank our sponsors like Harlan Hogan.
VoiceOver Extra.
Edge Studio.
Source Elements, makers of Source Connect.
Mm-hmm. Vio2Gogo and the Rehearsal app.
And finally, Antland Productions, where you can get yourself a killer demo if you haven't figured that one out by now. Mm-hmm. Thanks to Marcy for letting us be out here in the garage. our producer, Catherine Curran, for getting us great guests like Christine Aller. Mm-hmm. Anthony Gettig, Shelley Avellino, and now... Jack Daniel for helping
Jack
us out
Daniel.
In the chat room.
That's right.
And our floor producer, the one and only, Andrew Bushwitz.
Woo-hoo! The man on the switch.
He makes it happen. And Jack DeGoldi, of course, for the show notes. And Lee Pinney, of course, for being Lee Pinney. Well, that's going to do it for us this week. I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver.
Body Shop.
Or V-O-B-S. Yes. Have a great week, everybody. Work hard out there.
You're still watching VOBS?